In June, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-4 vote that federal courts cannot play a role in deciding cases dealing with claims of partisan gerrymandering. The ruling concerned cases from Maryland to North Carolina, in which plaintiffs said the political parties in their state drew congressional districts on partisan lines for political advantage. And while on its face that ruling seemed to put an end to legal challenges to partisan gerrymandering, some experts said not so fast.
I don't think that this case signals that we will always have to live with partisan gerrymandering, but rather that federal courts are not going to be the institution responsible for eliminating it.
That's Nicholas Bowie, an assistant professor of law at Harvard Law School, who talked to us about the Supreme Court case back in June. And this week, Bowie was proven right. A panel of three judges in North Carolina ruled Tuesday that the state's Republican-drawn legislative districts were in violation of the state's constitution because of, quote, extreme partisan gerrymandering. The court called for the districts to be redrawn by September 18th. Joining us now to explain how we got here and what comes next is Richard Brefault, a professor of legislation at Columbia Law School. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So North Carolina has gone through multiple gerrymandering cases. Why do we keep seeing these cases popping up in North Carolina? And is this one any different than what we've seen in the past?
Sure. I think there's been something like 8 major decisions in North Carolina since 2011 when they did the last census. Part of it is it's a very close state politically, but there's a dominant Republican legislature, so there's a big incentive to draw lines that will have political effects. There's also a lot of it involves racial gerrymandering. It's also a state with an intense racial politics. So some of these cases have gone off on racial gerrymandering, and some have gone off on partisan gerrymandering.
How did the judges in North Carolina come to the decision that the legislative district map in this case was partisan gerrymandering?
Well, it's an incredibly long opinion. It's 350 pages long. Multiple experts were consulted. And basically, they made the decision under the state constitution. As you noted at the beginning, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that the federal constitution can't play a role here, but they left open the possibility of state constitutions. State courts interpret state constitutions, and this court in particular gave a lot of weight to provision in the North Carolina Constitution, which many other states have, called the Free Elections Clause. Some states it's called the Free and Fair Elections Clause, which is basically one of the rules that states use to set up their electoral systems. They also look to – this state has an Equal Protection Clause like the federal, and it has the equivalent of a First Amendment, as nearly all state constitutions do. But the state courts are free to interpret their Equal Protection Clauses and their First Amendment equivalents as well as their Free Elections Clauses in their own way.
Is this decision a rebuke to the Supreme Court's decision back in June?
Well, I would say yes and no. The no is no, they're using a different document, and which has had different traditions. They point out their Free Elections Clause goes back to 1776. The yes is a kind of quiet one where the Supreme Court basically said this is something that's going to be too hard for courts to do. This court has shown that it's possible, and this is not the only court, but this court has shown that it is possible to do.
So I want to ask you about this not being the only court. Right. Do you think that this is going to signal perhaps more gerrymandering cases being brought by other state courts?
It's important actually to note that this is not the first time a state court has done this. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court in 2018 relied on Pennsylvania's Free and Fair Elections Clause to strike down its congressional map. So this is now the second major state court, and this isn't even the North Carolina Supreme Court. It's an intermediate appeals court. The legislature said they're not challenging it, so it's done. It's a final decision, effectively. We may see more. Other states have Florida has a rather has an additional provision unique to Florida about a prohibiting partisan advantage that's been used by the Florida courts. It will depend on the specific texts as well as the inclinations of those courts, but I'm guessing this is not the last one.
Now, particularly as we have a major election coming up in 2020. And also what struck me, Richard, was just how quickly the legislature has to turn around these redrawn maps. They have 2 weeks to do that. What does the process look like?
Well, one thing that makes it easier is the thing that's made gerrymandering so easy also, which is everything's now computerized. So you can very quickly generate multiple maps that comply with the constitutional requirements of equal population, compactness, contiguity. That means the whole district sticks together. And in North Carolina in particular has a rule that says you can't cross county lines. And you can put into the algorithm restriction minimizing the number of city lines that you cross. Basically, what this court said is the legislature technically adopted a set of criteria last time. We're going to go with those criteria, except you can't use past partisan results. So the setup is all there. That doesn't tell us what they're going to produce, but the technology for doing it relatively quickly does exist.
In their opinion, the judges in this case said that the way the districts were drawn violated the part of North Carolina's constitution that ensures all elections shall be free. What does free mean here? And is there a similar clause in the U.S. Constitution?
The way they interpreted free, and this is certainly the first time they've applied it to this kind of setting, is sort of fair and honest when were the voters decide. And their conclusion was based on massive data and multiple specialized experts is that the deck was stacked and that against Democrats and that that the Democrats not only would they have to win a majority of the popular vote, they would have to win a very big majority of the popular vote in order to win a majority of the legislature. So in their view, to use a phrase that's come up a lot in the gerrymandering area, this was not a case of the people electing their representatives, but the representatives picking their people. And so in that sense, the court felt it wasn't free. And that was a similar kind of reasoning that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court used last year, is that to the extent that the outcomes are at least in part dictated by the legislature, it's not really free. For your other question, no, there isn't a similar provision in the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution has a lot of provisions on voting, but they're typically – mostly they're written in the negative. In other words, they're bans on certain kinds of discrimination, racial discrimination, gender discrimination, discrimination against 18-year-olds. But there's not an affirmative creation of a right to vote. It's more a set of limits.
Richard Brefault is a professor of legislation at Columbia Law School. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.